Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Daryl Urbanski, your host as always. And today we are joined by Aaron Thomas. Aaron and his brother Jason are the driving force behind a world-class family of home service brands, including Bug Bros Pest Control, All Green Lawn and Pest, and Don's Lawn and Pest. Passionate about creating crazy happy customers, Aaron's success is built on customer experience and strategic partnerships. A formal financial planner and real estate investor, Aaron co-founded the official performance nutrition product of the CrossFit Games. He's a sports fan, avid reader, and world traveler who mentors entrepreneurs through beta blocks. When he's not fighting pests, he's shaping the future of service businesses and helping others thrive. I've asked him to join us here today to share his story and insights on creating raving fans. So, Aaron, thank you so much for joining us today. How you doing, my friend?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing awesome. How
Yeah,
about yourself?
It's always an honor and a pleasure. You know, I talked to Aaron for a different reason, and he just had this energy, and I was like, man, I need to bring you on my podcast. I don't know what it is. And before I get into some of the questions I had, I want to ask, how did you get into sort of the home service business, like, is or even being an entrepreneur? Were your parents entrepreneurs? Are you carrying the torch? Is this the family trade, building
Oh,
side
yeah.
businesses, or what?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was definitely our parents. When I was 6 years old and Jason was two, they got into the Amway business. And so growing up, as long as I can remember, we were traveling nights and weekends. They had pretty high pressure jobs, and then they were just burning the candle at both ends trying to chase a dream. And so we went with them to all kinds of meetings trying to get people into the Amway business and listen to lots of different conferences. And they actually paid us $20 to give book reports on self-development books. And so from the time we were young, we knew we were going to be entrepreneurs, and definitely there was no doubt from the beginning.
Really? So can you talk
Yep.
about this more? What do you feel like? Because I know you're a parent now. You got three kids? How many kids you got?
Yep, that's
Parent, three kids. So now as your parent, what lessons have you taken in terms of what your parents use to teach you the skills and give you that hunger, that bug? I was going to say get bite you with that bug, I guess.
Yeah, definitely we'll be doing a lot of the same things with our kids, really pushing entrepreneurship and pushing just chasing, whatever path it is that they feel like is the best for them, rather than just going the traditional educational route. Like, if that's what they want to do, great. But I'm hoping that they would rather maybe do an apprenticeship within our businesses and join us, but I won't push them in any direction necessarily. But really just kind of letting them know anything is possible and giving them enough to try anything, but not so much that they don't have to try anything. I think one thing I will do differently would be, my parents definitely went super hard and there was no time. And I think part of that was just that's the way it was in the late 80s, early 90s. There was not a lot of options. And to get ahead, you really had to just hustle. I think Jason and I now experiencing that side of things, both as kids and then as grown up as entrepreneurs, we really kind of like the opposite. We like to try to shoot for success without the grind and have our systems work for us and make sure we enjoy time with family and put family first. And so we want to make sure that we prioritize different things and realize that time is more valuable than anything. When I was in my 20s, I really thought I was like, I'm going to be a billionaire. I'm going to have all these things. I'm going to do, all these kind of external signs of success. And I think the best way to put it is, at the time, I wanted freedom to do things, freedom to this and that. Whereas now, I want freedom from things. I want freedom from stress. I want freedom from the need to please others, freedom from, just any kind of external expectations that people may place on me, and just, live life the best that I can and encourage my kids to do the same thing.
I love that. Can you speak a little bit? I mean, I think that would be great to have. So, shoot for success without the grind. What's the strategy then behind that? How do you shoot for success without the grind?
Like, we've had so many different businesses and we've never had trouble growing very, very quickly in every business. Like, that's what my brother and I are really good at is growth. Where we've struggled sometimes is just having that bottom line catch up to the growth, because when you're growing super fast, it can be hard to also turn a good profit.
Profit,
Usually
yeah.
they're one or the other, to a degree. So, after experiencing a lot of, super high highs and super low lows in our entrepreneurial journey, we decided, when this business started taking off, we were like, let's just really focus every year on growing at a fast pace, but making sure that, the bottom line is growing at least as fast as the top line. And most importantly, that we are more and more free to do the things that we want to do year after year, that we have more time with our family, more time to pursue hobbies and other things, and that the business is less and less dependent on us. So that sounds like what any entrepreneur would want, but in reality, it's super, super hard to actually follow through, because the bigger you get and the better things go, the more opportunities come your way. And it just gets harder and harder to say no to these amazing opportunities that are like, man, definitely, you know, 5-10 years ago, I would have gone all in on that, because I can see that it could be, you know, basically, like, the gist of it is, I think that we're more all in on building a $1 billion brand 30 to 50 years from now than a $10 million increase in the next year, or $100 million in the next few years, because that's just a different pace and a different focus and a different kind of priority. I think if we just focus on being the absolute best at what we do, building something world-class, all the rest of that stuff will follow. And that's why I told Jason from the beginning, I think we can build a $1 billion brand. And he was like, why a billion? What does that matter? Like, what can you get at a billion that you can't get at 100 million or whatever? And I was like, it ultimately comes down to the number of people we're helping along the way. A $1 billion brand means we've got thousands of employees, which means we're impacting thousands of their lives, tens of thousands of their families, hundreds of thousands of customers. And it's a blue collar industry. And we feel like we can really make a dramatic impact on those that work for us. And that's why everything that we do revolves around our mantra is, crazy happy employees create crazy happy customers. And a lot of companies have these catchy little things that sound nice, but in reality, it doesn't mean much. But for us, it's like, we are really crazy about it. And everything we do revolves around that. And so that's ultimately led us to turn down a lot of really pretty amazing opportunities that could have been good for Jason and I personally, but wouldn't necessarily fit with creating crazy happy customers or creating crazy happy employees, one or the other.
I don't know if this is the right question, but was that inspired in any way from your experience with CrossFit? When we spoke the first time, I told you that it's, you know, it's paraphrased, but it's a Greg Glassman quote that markets are ultimately unknown and unknowable. Nobody really knows how many people are in market to buy a car right now. There's indicators, but the real number is a mystery. But everyone can acknowledge and recognize excellence. And so excellence should be your North Star. And that's always inspired me. Is that part of what inspired this? Or was this something that you had before then, or what?
I would say that our journey within the CrossFit community and the sports nutrition brand that we built has definitely laid the foundation for all of our success that we've had in lawn and pest. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of that was from failures that we, you know, where we were super successful on the outside, and on the inside, we didn't end up getting to enjoy some of those from a monetary standpoint. But what we did learn was we got a ton of experience. And, you know, you can learn just as much from multi-million dollar lawsuits as you can from putting millions of dollars in your pocket or more. I feel like we've learned from that super rapid growth where we grew, you know, 150% annually year after year through that process, totally organically. And we had a lot of, along the way, just a lot of crazy things that would come up that you'd have to figure out on the fly, become an expert in so many different things so quickly, or else you're going to lose it. And so it was definitely, you know, the training grounds for, you know, what became our successful lawn and pest conglomerate of businesses. And that's definitely absolutely invaluable for us.
So the athletes were being tested on the floor and you were being tested in the office in the back, right?
Yep. And shoot, we were, I mean, almost every day, every weekend, we're working out with those athletes. So we're learning on the floor too, getting the hard way.
Mutants. I want DNA samples to prove they're human.
I couldn't keep up with that these days, but I mean, we were working, you know, 80, 100 hours a week, traveling every weekend to CrossFit events all over and shaking up protein drinks, giving them to athletes, trying to get box owners to carry our product. And so starting in my 20s and into my 30s, that was pretty amazing. Didn't have kids yet, so we could do that. But it was unbelievably exhausting, you know, burning the candle at both ends for 4 straight years of just nothing but that. Yeah. We absolutely loved it and enjoyed that whole culture and just everything about it. Yeah. But I could never do that at my age now and with kids. And I mean, it was tough, but that's what really kind of taught us to how valuable time was, because we had no time. And even though we had everything else, life was incredible. We had no time outside of work. And although we loved our work, it would have been nice to have been able to enjoy other things.
Yeah.
We thought, well, we're going to next time we're gonna do it differently. We're gonna make sure as we get more and more successful, we're going to have more and more time.
Yeah, you know, we keep talking about time. I really want to read this poem if you're okay with it. I have this
Sure.
on. I've got like a daily planner that I use, and this is I've got a tab for things I need to read at least once a week, and this is in there. It goes,
Okay.
"Time is the inexplicable raw material of everything. With it, all is possible. Without it, nothing. The supply of time is truly a daily miracle, an affair genuinely astonishing when one examines it. You wake up in the morning and lo, your purse is magically filled with 24 hours of the unmanufactured tissue of the universe of your life. It is yours. It is the most precious of possessions. No one can take it from you. It is unstealable. And no one receives either more or less than you receive. In the realm of time, there is no aristocracy of wealth and no aristocracy of intellect. Genius is never rewarded by even an extra hour a day. And there is no punishment. Waste your infinitely precious commodity as much as you will, and the supply will never be withheld from you. Moreover, you cannot draw on the future. It's impossible to get into debt. You can only waste the passing moment. You cannot waste tomorrow. It is kept for you. You cannot waste the next hour. It is kept for you. I have said the affair was a miracle. Is it not? You have to live on this 24 hours of daily time. Out of it, you have to spend health, pleasure, money, content, respect, and the evolution of your immortal soul. Its right use, its most effective use, is a matter of the highest urgency and of the most thrilling actuality. All depends on that. Your happiness, the elusive prize you are all clutching for, my friends, depends on that. If one cannot arrange that an income of 24 hours a day shall exactly cover all proper items of expenditure, one does muddle one's whole life indefinitely. We shall never have any more time. We have, and we have always had, all the time there is." By Arnold Bennett, How to Live on 24 Hours a Day. I love that. You know, it's so powerful. You can transform time into anything, right? Now, to pivot from that, you talked about how it's easy for you and your brother to grow companies quickly. I'm sure that we went like running past other people, like, really, how? So can you speak to that a bit?
Yeah, I think ultimately it comes down to systems and processes for us now, and technology and leveraging all of those things. Early on, it was a lot of hustle as well, but getting good people to plug into those systems. Through that CrossFit experience, we got really good at building out systems. We built a pretty amazing sales funnel that powered that whole rocket ship. And so then after we both left, Jason started a small business marketing automation firm. So he really honed his skills building funnels, you know, with every kind of CRM you can imagine, primarily Infusionsoft at the time. But we've used everything from Salesforce to HubSpot to Infusionsoft to now our favorite is Go High Level. We absolutely love it. And so that's what we use for all of our businesses, for the sales and marketing funnel, all of our customer communications and automation. The good thing about the industry that we're in is they're not super tech forward. And so it doesn't take a lot to be at the forefront. So we have basically hundreds of different automated processes going on at all times. So when someone comes to us and they have a particular pest issue, there's going to be a specific funnel targeted for that type of pest, telling them specific messaging as to why they should hire us and what separates us. And then after they make the appointment, telling them, hey, here's what you need to do to prepare for the appointment. After the appointment, it's going to tell them what they need to do to, you know, to continue to keep them away and things like that. And then it's going to follow up with them later and check in and see how it's going. You know, it's one of those things that it takes a long time to build out when you have many, many different pests and all different types of situations. And so you just start out with one basic thing that makes it, for us, our bread and butter is the general preventative pest control spray. So just, you know, a homeowner that wants to keep the pests away, they don't necessarily have a major issue, or they start out with an issue like ants or spiders or whatever. But then once they get rid of it, they just want to keep them away. And so basically that customer is just a monthly auto pay, and we come every 3 months, and then in between, anytime they need us, it's all covered, no extra cost. And so that's kind of our bread and butter. So everything we build is around that funnel and that customer experience. And that's, you know, 80 some percent of what we do. But then all those other things that come up, from bed bugs to termites to roaches to fleas to mosquitoes, you know, then you just slowly build one funnel after another for the next most important thing. And so I think a lot of people just are too busy trying to hustle and just operate the business that they just don't have time to, you know, spend time working on the business. And so fortunately for Jason and I, from the beginning. You know, I was the only one in the business in the very beginning, and Jason was totally out of the business, so he could, you know, just work on those things to get us started. And then as we went along and hired people, we just would always hire early, and we would be willing to forego, you know, profitability, and just for us to be able to get up on top of the business quicker. And so for years, I haven't had anything to do with any operations for a long time. And Jason is predominantly, you know, gotten himself out of operations as well. And so that just allows us to think more strategically and plan long term. And, you know, just so I'm just constantly, you know, looking at what else is out there, whether it's technology or potential acquisitions we can make or partnerships that we can create. And most of the time people are too busy fielding sales calls and delivering service. And it amazes me how many people in our industry have big businesses that are still embroiled in the operations and have never either taken the time or haven't figured out how to get themselves away from the operations. So from the beginning, it was just, hey, how quick can we get to the point where the business can survive without us doing a thing? And from the beginning, we thought it needs to be doing $1 million in revenue. We need to hustle to get to $1 million in revenue. At that point, you know, depending on how lean we want it, we can make bottom line at least 20 to 30%, somewhere in that range, depending on how much we want to reinvest in marketing. And that's kind of what we needed to just cover our bare bones, you know, what we would need. And so once we got to that point, we were able to just really focus on doing nothing but building out systems, improving systems, iterating, bringing in a technology director, and then focusing on building new software and just trying out all different things. A lot of them don't work out, and you blow through a lot of money. But as long as your bottom line is where you need it to just live comfortably, then, you know, it gives you that freedom to just play around, which that's kind of, you know, what we love to do is just play with different things in business, see what works. And every once in a while, you hit something that really is a game changer.
So what would you recommend to someone that's listening to this and they are just starting out or struggling? And they're like, wow, this Aaron guy, like, I get it. Yeah. Work on the business, not in the business. Yeah. Have a sales funnel. Yeah. Hire early. Yeah. But where do I begin? How do I, you know, get to $1 million. Then you can like, oh, okay. So what do you recommend to a person that's listening that's got that kind of those questions floating around in their head?
I mean, that's the $1 million question, right? I mean, I think the answer would be different for each person depending on what business they're in and what their life goals are. But I think that would be the first thing I would do is determine not my business goals, but my life goals, and then reverse engineer everything around that. So, you know, what's most important to me? What does success look like if I fast forward 3, 5, 10 years? And what I didn't do in my 20s and not until these last handful of years, I could visualize all the things, all the external things, all the material things that I wanted out of life, but I didn't spend enough time thinking about the thing beneath the thing of like, what does that give me? And why do I want that? And really drilling down into like, what other thing could I maybe shoot for that's cheaper, a good substitute that I could get to faster that can allow me to get to freedom faster? And so I would spend a crazy amount of time thinking through the thing beneath the thing of why I'm doing what I'm doing and what I'm really shooting for, drill down into that, and then figure out like, okay, from there, what business plan helps me to get there? Concurrently, I would just read a ton of books. Like that's one thing I think entrepreneurs, too many of us don't do enough of. And you know, I get it because we're super busy and it's hard to find time to read, but you know, with audiobooks, there's no excuse. Mm-hmm. You know, every time you get in the car, you can be reading. And I have just taken so much all throughout my life, Jason, you know, and that's part of what was instilled in us by our parents, paying us $20 to give book reports from the time we were young. That's shaped us into who we are. There's no Aaron, there's no Jason without reading those books and applying what we've learned. Just whatever you're into, pick a subject and dive deep into that. Read a bunch of books on it and then figure out what are the few takeaways that you're going to apply. So those are the things I would do to start. But ultimately, I think it would just depend on, you know, from there, what type of business is it? If it's a product business, you know, just hurry up and make a prototype and see if you can sell it, you know, sell it to a friend. And from there, sell another. And, you know, just prove that you've got product market fit before I see so many people that want to, you know, raise a bunch of money and take these big risks when they haven't even figured out whether someone's willing to pay them a dollar to give them this thing. And so go prove it out on a small scale first. I think that's a mistake that we've made in the past is, you know, I've raised a lot of money for various ventures and I unfortunately have lost millions of dollars along the way for great people because I didn't follow that advice. I thought that I had the Midas touch and I could just create something in my hustle and what it, you know, my skills and the people around me would be able to create value. And sometimes I was right, but sometimes I wasn't. And it really sucked and had a lot of uncomfortable conversations with investors that could have been avoided if I would have just maybe started a little smaller and scaled it back, proven out, you know, something first, and then, you know, raised a smaller amount of money to get to the next incremental milestone. So
yeah,
I guess that would be another piece of advice, incremental milestones and set those.
That's such a powerful lesson. And I think all of us have done that. I'm embarrassed when you talk about it. I'm like, yeah, I've done that too. Elon Musk made $300 million selling a car. He had no team to build and no factory to make. So people, they're like, yeah, but pre-order, how do I sell something? Like he made one in a garage and then he made $300 million pre-selling it. So what's your excuse? Yeah. Right? What's your excuse? I mean, I get it. You're not Elon Musk. You're not, you know, going for $300 million maybe won't happen for you. I get that. But the concept is there. And in my hometown, I remember once the gym was opening up near the mall and this building beside the mall was under renovation and there was a trailer outside and they were signing up new members and, you know, the bus around town, there was all this marketing going on. All of a sudden the construction stopped and everything was gone. And I remember I was out with friends one night and I saw a guy that had been working there. I said, what happened? He said, oh, we didn't meet our pre-opening membership goals. So they just packed up. And I'm like, what do you? Yeah, but you had some members, right? He's like, yeah, we had some members, but we just refunded them all. And I was like, wait, what? So the company canceled and cut their losses when they couldn't get enough members prior to launch day. Most of us, myself included, would have just gone, I need to grind harder.
Well, I wish I would have learned that because I lost almost $1 million on a fitness training facility that didn't gather enough traction early. And, you know, that could have been a great way to save a lot of money.
Yeah. I guess so. Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to pick at a scab there. I had no idea.
It's an old enough scab. It's good. I got thick skin.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. So can you, what did you learn? You talked about you and your brother got really good at building sales funnels. What do you think are the fundamentals of a sales funnel? I mean, it's easy enough to say, just make a prototype, go sell it. But okay. To sell it, do I just go, hey, want to buy my thing? Funnels is kind of a buzzword right now. What do you feel are some of the pillars? Like how do you... Now, prior to before?
For us, I think the number one is we rely heavily on text messaging, and it's just been so much more successful because so many more people, obviously everyone sees their text, not everyone sees their emails. Mm-hmm. Of course, we have emails built into all of our funnels as well, but we find even customers don't read, or if they read it, they skim it and they don't absorb what we send them in an email. But if we send a short text, they're going to see it and they're going to respond on a super high percentage of the time. So that's one of the things. But the other thing is just personality. We let every bit of communication, we inject our personality into this crazy happy concept. Even though it's Bug Bros Pest Control, the brand is really about crazy happy and crazy mm-hmm. happy customers. You know, we've trademarked that and everything we do revolves around that. And part of that is just a big picture strategy of when we make acquisitions, if we don't rebrand a brand or a brand has enough equity and it's large enough that it's too hard to rebrand as Bug Bros, we can just inject our crazy happy messaging and everything around that into that company as well. But just showing your personality in every little bit of communication, you apart from everyone else, because most people aren't going to go that extra mile. We create templates for every kind of situation that our customer service representatives, we call our customer happiness specialists, everything is templated and it all feels like it's not just a generic template. It feels like, wow, they went over the top to create an actual response to my question that answers all the things that I wanted and more. And so we've spent, you know, there's hundreds and hundreds of those in our arsenal. You know, we found people were spending so much time typing up things and then customer might ask four questions and they only answer two of them and not even on brand and on message. And so we have templates on everything. And then I think over communicating is another big thing. Like if we're not getting people responding to us on a regular basis, saying that we're calling them too much, we're texting them too much, or we're too over the top, then we know we're not doing enough. And so you need to do enough where you get that sum. Obviously, there's a point where you do go over the top too much. But if we're not getting those messages from time to time, then we need to increase our touch points and add some additional texts and phone calls and things like that. For us, the phone call aspect of it is the least. In our follow-ups, we typically only do maybe 2 phone calls. And in our industry, most of our competitors are only calling. It shocks us. We do a lot of site visits of some of the largest brands that are 10, 20 times larger than us. And they still have no funnel. They have no automated follow-up. It's just, you know, a lead comes in and if they don't convert it, it's gone. Or maybe there's 1 or 2 phone calls beyond that or an email, like just so minimal, which is kind of crazy. But that's one of the things we love about this industry. It's so fragmented and it's so kind of behind many other industries that we've been a part of.
Right. So. I love that. So, all right. So some of the key things is automated follow-up, personality in all communication, text messages gets response,
template. And then scripts, like all of our sales pitches, 100% scripted out. I know everyone doesn't follow them to a T, but I've literally shown like over and over when people, you know, want to change scripts, our salespeople, I tell them like, look, I promise you, if you literally say this word for word, but you memorize it so well that people have no clue that it's a script, you're going to close 85% of the time, because that's what I did every time. I mean, there's one time I closed 20 straight calls in a day, just following the script word for word every single time. And people just don't, salespeople always want to put their own spin and they want to say, well, it just doesn't sound right. And I always try to tell them like, it doesn't sound right because you haven't done it enough times, repetition. And then you can maybe change a few little things, tweaks here and there. But ultimately, like the script is very powerful for us because not just to, it's an easy sale, especially on the lawn side. Like most of the time people just call and get a price. And if they're like, oh, that seems decent. They don't even want to hear a pitch. They're just ready to buy. Right. But the script is super important for us on both lawn and pest because you got to set expectations. Like, for example, on the lawn side, they need to understand this is no quick fix. You need to be on a program for an entire year because we have at least 7 different applications, each one addressing different types of weeds. Each of those weeds only are able to be addressed during certain times of year based on the weed, whether it's leaf, whether it's cool or warm season, and things like that. So you're setting the expectation. A lot of times you get new customers and they've had 2 or 3 applications and they're like, we still have weeds. You're not doing your job. And it's like, that's why I told you. That's why the follow-up explains all of these things. We haven't had time to address that one that you had issues with. And the only way we could have is if you would have hired us the previous year, because that's the only time you can kill that particular weed. And same thing with like on the pest side where, you know, we have to warn them that, hey, you're likely to see more pest activity for the handful of days after we spray because we're disrupting their habitat. They're going to be scrambling. And, you know, just a ton of different things like that. You know, how do you informing them as to, you know, how to access their portal and just different things about the customer journey and the experience, what to expect and all of that. And then we always set them up for one of the biggest things that has been a driver in our success is the reviews and the NPS score that we get. And so basically setting them up from the outset with in the script that, hey, this is what drives our business is reviews. And the best way you can tell us good job is by leaving us a 5-star review. And we actually pay your pest specialist a bonus based on that. And so that's the best way you can tell them good job. And so, you know, and then reinforcing that and all the following messaging. So just, you know, that I think the script is super important for not to make the sale, but to keep the sale later.
I love this. I hope people are taking notes. There's a lot of good stuff in this call. So what do you think? If you had to start all over, what do you think are the most important habits that have helped you on your path to success? If you had to go, okay, I'm starting over from ground one, I'm 20 years old again, I've got to adopt certain habits. What are the habits that I'm going to need to make this work?
Oh man, there's so many. How do I narrow them down? I think in different times of the journey, there would be different habits that I would say were most helpful. But across this entire entrepreneurial journey, I would say cultivating amazing relationships with your employees and your customers is always going to be paramount in any industry at any time. And obviously, hustling in the beginning is super necessary in any endeavor. So, you know, I like to talk about having time freedom, but it wasn't like that in the beginning. And you have to get there first. And so just being willing to, you know, in the beginning when it was just me, I was available 7 days a week. Anytime a customer was calling or texting, like, I'm on it, I'm immediately responding, I'm calling back. And fortunately, I didn't have kids, so it was much easier to
right.
do that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
you either have to be willing to, like, you know, show your kids, hey, there's going to be a season where it's going to feel like you may be not as prioritized as you want to be, but trust me, it's going to be worth it. And show them, model that that's a lifestyle worth living for a period, but not letting that go indefinitely. Cause then at some point you're just, you're sacrificing your kids for your career. And that's not the best way. But I think constant improvement, that's been for us, like, and that's just kind of in our DNA. Like, Jason and I just cannot ever stand, no matter how good something is, it's never going to be good enough forever. And so your competitors are always going to keep improving. And the only way to be world-class is to get better every day. So that's definitely one thing that has been common throughout all of our businesses. Other than that, trying to narrow them down. But I would say those are the key ones. And I guess core values, we call it our crazy happy code. We create crazy happy, four of them, easy to remember. But those four things, I guess, would be a good way to codify what's been most important to us. So we is, you know, we're family, star teammates, not superstars. So we want people who are more committed to the vision and where we're going than, you know, their own personal success. And give me a Robert Horry that is going to, you know, be a member of a championship team and contribute whatever is necessary to win, rather than someone who's really great at everything, but he's a cancer in the locker room, you know? Our first value is we're creators, 1% better every day. So that's kind of what I was just touching on. And just, you know, if you get 1% better each day at something, you're going to be 37 times better at the end of the year. So just constantly looking to improve in every aspect of the organization and personally. And then crazy is we're different, remarkable required. So everything that we do, we don't just do the minimum. We don't even just do what, you know, what most people would consider great. Like, we want to be so over the top that people say we're crazy. And, you know, so we've got just all kinds of cool examples of our employees doing that over the years, and people don't forget that. And then the final is happy, and we're happy. We say choose happy, share happy. Happiness is a choice, and one that you have to continuously make every day, no matter what happens. We can choose it, but there's also levels of happiness. Like, if you're so happy, like you said, when you talk to me, you just, you know, I'm glad that kind of comes through, because we try to tell all our employees, be so happy. They hear it over the phone. They know you're smiling. They can't help but to also feel happy after they've been around you. So those are our core values that we have with Bug Bros and Don's and All Green. And I think that could apply to any business. And that's why we've branded everything and trademarked around crazy happy everything that we do, because we feel like as we expand into new services and new verticals within the service industry, we don't think that no matter how much AI and technology and everything else causes our industries to change rapidly, I don't think any of those things are ever going to change.
No, I agree. I think those are just tools. They've said we're going to replace humans forever. When tractors came out, we don't need farmers. When calculators came out, we don't need mathematicians. When spreadsheets came out, we don't need accountants. When books came out, we don't need CPAs, and they're all still around. So they're all just tools, you know, really smart, really powerful tools. Can you expand maybe on getting customers? Because I think some people might be enamored by your growth. What advice would you give to someone who's just struggling to get customers? We grew 100% year over year in this business, and we don't have problems growing businesses super fast. What are the key pillars of that specific thing?
There are many ways to get customers. In this business, we've grown since 2016, we've grown 63% a year. Now, that's a combination between organic growth and acquisitions. In general, with what we do, we like to have around 50-50 between the two. It's that crazy happy customer experience is always at the forefront in our industry, especially, but in all industries, it's Google reviews. That's kind of become the word of mouth. We built from the very beginning amazing systems around gathering reviews. Every one of our locations has the most reviews. If you look at Bug Bros, every one of them is a perfect 5-star, not 4.9. Once in a while, we drop to a 4.9 and that just kills us. But 5-star on thousands of reviews. For us, that is the number one driver, because that's what people check first. And that also, you know, dominating local SEO. And so that anytime someone searches for lawn spray in Oklahoma City or spiders in Tulsa, like, we're going to be top three on just about every relevant search term. So we invest in, you know, the local SEO and the Google Map packs and all of those things. And, you know, over the years, we haven't spent much on Google Ads. Like, right now, between all the brands, you know, I'd have to look. I know Bug Bros, this is kind of our peak season for Bug Bros, and we're spending about 4.5% of revenue on ads right now. And that's way higher than in our off season. It may be like 1%, whereas a lot of our competitors are spending many times that. And then on the lawn side, we're probably closer to 1 to 2% on ad spend, because we've built, you know, systems that generate, we're still able to make 3,000 sales in a year, new customers on the lawn side, without spending all those ads. So each business has a little bit different kind of the marketing angle and how the funnel works. But the Google reviews is totally critical on all of them. The local SEO dominating whatever search terms are most relevant to us, critical for us. And then just, of course, just providing a great customer experience. So you're going to get word of mouth, and customers are going to, you know, we're going to have high retention. But one of the things we do is we use a software called Applause in all of our businesses. In the past, we've used a bunch of them to gather reviews. So, you know, we've used Check It, and we've used, you know, there's a number of others out there. This is probably the fourth one we've used, and we built one ourselves in the beginning, but Applause has by far been our favorite. We highly recommend that to everyone. And it's cool because it doesn't just send everyone to the reviews. First, it asks them, you know, to rate their experience, and then it gathers the NPS score. And so the reviews are kind of the public facing, you know, hey, we're great at what we do, but the NPS score is more private, giving us feedback immediate from customers and how we perform. So like with Bug Bros, we have a NPS score of 96, which in, literally in pest control, if you look at Rollins, Terminix, to all the major brands, they're all negative. And we're a positive 96. And then we get immediate feedback. They leave comments on, you know, if it's anything less than, we start automations from that. If it's literally 8 or less, we have an immediate automation starting saying, I'm so sorry, we dropped the call. Even if they say they did an 8. And so we call them and we're following up, and they're like, I gave you an 8. You know, I'm happy. And they're like, well, anything less than 10 is, you know, I mean, from our perspective, we dropped the ball. And so, you know, that we really use that, you know, immediately to address any issues. And so the combination of, you know, that Applause, then it also allows them to leave tips for our lawn and pest specialists. And so they get an immediate kind of, you know, good job, and they can basically transfer that to, you know, to their bank account or Venmo right away. So they don't have to wait for their paycheck. And then it also gives us, it can tie into our different scheduling and routing softwares and provide, you know, all the KPIs that are relevant to our field employees. So they can see like, what's my reservice rate? What's my NPS, my personal NPS score? Mm-hmm. How much have I, you know, on tips? And it has a leaderboard, so they can, they tell us on average, our guys are checking it 4 times a day. Wow. So it really drives activity. And so that's been a really great software that, you know, like I said, we've tried a lot of them, and it's been by far our favorite and we have a bunch of other softwares that we're utilizing and leveraging.
That's so crazy. I don't know if anyone caught that. I asked Aaron, what's like, you know, how do you get new customers and grow? And he just said, in a lot of words, make sure everybody is really happy. Make sure all your, Aaron, I think the ground is cracked open. The earth is shaken. That's the secret. That's the secret. Make sure everyone is really happy, and work hard to find out if they're happy and to make sure they're happy.
It's all in the execute. Obviously, everyone knows you want happy customers, but it's in the execution, and there's levels to this. Like, that's why everything is crazy happy. It's so over the top in every way, and everything we do, people are blown away by it. So we have, like at Bug Bros, we haven't lost an employee in over a year and a half. Yeah. And that, in our industry, customer churn and employee churn is the number one issue in lawn and pest. And we have no employee churn. Customer churn is next to nothing on the Bug Bro side, unless someone, you know, they either move away or they say, oh, you got rid of our issue, and so we don't think we need you anymore. On the lawn side, you know, those are businesses we acquired that were very old, decades old businesses. So it's not quite, you know, our culture, our DNA isn't quite as deep. And so that's the one thing we're always, our biggest challenge for sure, that we're just improving, but we're not world class on retention yet. But on the employee side, for Don's, for the third year in a row, we were ranked the number 6 small business in all of North America for best places to work. And so, you know, we figured there's no way to create crazy happy customers if your employees aren't crazy happy in our industry, because That's all they see. They don't come to the office. They don't see any of us. They talk to us on the phone and they see our guys come to spray the lawn or spray their house. They know whether this person is happy or not. And it always is kind of surprising to them when they see that they are super happy, because you just don't expect someone out in 110 heat index to, you know, sweating to be, you know, show up with a big smile on their face.
Yeah,
and like,
be happy to be here to kill some cockroach. Yeah. That's excellent.
Yep.
That's so powerful. And it's so like basic, fundamental. I don't want to say common sense, but it's just a really, it's refreshing. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's like doing things that are just not done in whatever your industry standard is, just raising it so many levels above. So like for us on the employee side, just so many of the things that we do that has caused us to never lose employees is, you know, everyone's on salary for one thing, and it's an hourly industry. So we live in the Midwest. We have extreme temperatures. We have extreme weather and, you know, days of snow and ice and days of 50 mile an hour winds. And so when all of our competitors, if they're at home, they're not making money. But we made the decision early on that, hey, we want our guys in the field to, it doesn't matter to them if they're going to get a paycheck. They're going to be able to take care of their family. And it works out for us in the long run with happy employees that don't leave. And we do things like we automatically contribute 3% to their 401k. Most people in our industry don't even have a 401k, let alone one that is getting money put into it without them doing anything. We have like the most incredible health insurance, that way better than any health insurance I've ever seen at an employer. Everything is covered. It's crazy. And just things like that. We allow people, like on the Don side, we allow them to earn a 4-day work week with hitting performance measures. And so they can, you know, still do the same amount of work in 4 days as five, but they have the option of doing four if they choose to, if they've earned it. And then we just pack our compensation with just tons and tons of different performance-based things to production and five-star bonuses, you name it. So we do all kinds of stuff. And then we have a lake property where we have a few lake houses we bring everyone out to, and we block it off beginning of the summer, the end of the summer. We give them a paid day off to bring their entire families out, and we pay to all expenses paid to come and spend a weekend with us. And so just all kinds of things like that you don't typically see, especially in our industry. So
I love that. Now, is there, for people listening, I mean, how do you, if people are wondering, I mean, I would love to do that too. How do you pay for all that? So is that priced into the, you know, like that's right.
Well, the only way you can do those things is you have to be a premium product or a premium service. Like you don't, there's not margin there if you're not pricing yourself accordingly. So in all of our businesses and every market, we are at the top of the market. We may not be the most expensive. If we're not, we are right there with them, and, you know, more expensive than 97% of our competitors. And that's why the script is so important. You have to build value. You can't just present the price. That's why, you know, you don't have the ability to do all these amazing things for your employees and for your customers if you don't build that into your price. And we're very, you know, a lot of our competitors are, they allow their legacy customers to not have their prices raised. And a lot of them feel like that's a benefit I'm providing to my customer for their loyalty, but all they're doing is they're hamstringing growth. There's like, at some point you're actually losing money on those customers. They don't want that for you. They don't want you to go out of business. And so prices, not necessarily every year, but if not every year, every other year. And then, but we do raise prices on new customers every single year.
Yep.
And we make sure that we're always at the top of the market, and allows us to, you know, spend the most. Like we are definitely spending more than everyone else on our chemicals, that, you know, on both the lawn and pesticides. So they're going to get a better result working with us as well. So you've got to have a good product, which for us is a pest-free, a weed-free, you know, house or business. And so, you know, that it takes money to do that. It takes money to hire great employees. We pay top of market to our employees as well, much more than just about everyone else out there. And that's how you attract better employees that are more likely to stay long-term. And we try to provide, it also takes rapid growth to provide enough upward mobility and opportunities for those awesome employees that would otherwise leave you, because there's not enough room for them to grow and to move into bigger, better opportunities. And so that's another thing that's super important. We have to grow in order to keep our awesome employees. So
I love that. Provide excellent service, make sure everyone's happy, and charge what you need to charge to do it.
Yep.
I mean, sounds simple enough. Where do you see things going in 3 to 5 years? We're going through a lot geopolitically, technologically. What's on, you know, what are you watching come down the pipeline? What are you keeping your finger on the pulse of?
Yeah, I mean, just like every industry, AI and you know, automation, everything is affecting us like everyone. We're definitely, you know, our industry is slow adopters, but we've spent a lot of money. We've tried a lot of different AI solutions, you know, primarily conversational AI, trying to help with both the sales and the customer service side of things. And to this point, we haven't been able to find a solution that is good enough for us. I think we're getting to the point where I think most brands in our industry can probably leverage conversational AI to a degree that will fit their particular customer experience. But for us, like I said, we are so over the top, and we are so, you don't get five star rating and 96 NPS by being good or even great. Until AI gets to the point where we absolutely love the experience we have, we're not going to deploy it. So we just keep trying new things, wasting a lot of money. But that'll be something that I think is going to be pretty ubiquitous in the industry, is conversational AI agents. But we're using AI on the back end, and we're going to need to implement more and more of that with things like, we have an AI lawn measuring software. It's a company called Deep Lawn that's really awesome. We've tried all the other competitors, and they've been our favorite. But basically, where we live, all the grass goes dormant in the winter. It's 90% Bermuda grass, so it's really ugly, drab. Fortunately, the one great thing, that when we bought the business 4 years ago, the owner had a brilliant marketing strategy. When he did put down the pre-emergent, the first application each year, he would use this blue dye, this tracer blue dye. And it's because, you know, why not green? Well, it's because the company dons it is blue. And so that's why he did blue, and because it's cheaper. Literally looks like the Boise State football field, super deep blue, very, very noticeable. The first treatment every year, we put out this blue dye and then a yard sign. Then we have a QR code where you can just scan it, takes you to our landing page. You fill out your name, address, phone number, email. And then right after you do that, in the background, it's feeding our AI lawn measuring software. And then it's also being pushed to our scheduling and routing software, being pushed to our CRM. And so then our salesperson can immediately, you know, they get a message on Slack that we got a lead, and then they'll immediately have, you know, a picture of the lawn, and they'll be able to see if it looks right or not. We have a bunch of zaps going on in the background that automatically calculate all the different services we offer. Here's how much the 7-time weed control program, weed control and fertilization. Here's how much mosquito control is. Here's our perimeter pest control. And here's what, you know, roaches to bed bugs, you name it. It's all right there. So they don't have to be distracted trying to figure out these things. It's loading all that information into our different software, so we don't have to be filling it out. And then basically, you know, we tried it on the front end initially, to where they have a front end interface where the customer puts it in and then they see the price and they can buy online. I don't remember if it was last year or 2 years ago, but we had about 20% of our sales without even talking to anyone. They just put their address in online and bought. I think that was like 600 and some new customers that way. But we found, unfortunately, that we weren't able to build that value and set those expectations, and we lost too many, or we had issues. We had maybe the, you know, once in a while on large lawns, it wasn't calculating it right. People might have been paying way less than they were supposed to, or they just didn't understand that it is a process. It's going to take a year, and all these different things. Our process is, if they have a gate, if their gate's locked, we're still going to treat the front lawn. We're going to bill you for the whole thing, and then we're just going to automatically come back out in the next few days. We set those expectations when we can talk to them on the phone, but you can't do that when you're pricing it online.
Right.
So then we made a video and we customized it to where they had to watch this video, but people just don't pay as much attention if you're not actually talking to them. So this year we retooled it and we changed it to where it's just a back-end tool. And we actually still just pitch people. And we have a third party company that we use for any overflow. So 100% of phone calls get pitched.
Entered.
They're not great at what they do, but we've found that it's better to be immediate than an incredible salesperson calling back in 20 minutes even. And so we just make sure everyone gets answered. And we found that that's worked really, really well for us. And we've been able to keep our sales team super, super lean and nimble. And so that keeps our overhead as low as possible.
I love that. Aaron, this has been such a good interview. I want to be respectful of your time. I know you got kids, and we talked about time so much at the beginning as well. I've got a couple of pages of notes. People may want to re-listen to this interview to make sure they got all the nuggets, all the gold out of this. Is there anything I haven't asked you that I should have asked you?
No, I mean, feel free to ask me anything else. I don't mind spending a few more minutes if there's any specific thing, but not to my.
If people have questions, if they want to reach out, if they want to connect, what are some of the best ways for them to get involved or to follow along?
I mean, you can check out our websites if you want to see us, bugbros.com, donslawnokc.com, allgreenok.com. That's one of the next things we need to do is get more active on social media. That's been one of the last things we've really focused on everything else. So you can follow us on social media, but you're not going to see anything. So
Right.
that will change. I would say, you know, if you on, you know, Facebook or Instagram, if you follow at Bug Bros Pest, that'll be the next one that we'll start to get active on. But yeah.
I love it. Aaron, thank you so much. This has been such a great interview. Want to have you back in a few months and see how things are going on. Appreciate you so much knowing you got your own direct reports, your own family, multiple businesses, you know, R&D. Thank you so much for making time for me, knowing you've got so much going on and sharing your knowledge with my audience and I.
Absolutely. Anytime. Good talking to you, Daryl.